Brett Ady is Ambulance Employees Australia's Victorian Secretary. Brett Ady, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nicole.
What we are seeing appears to be unprecedented.
It is unprecedented, and they're pretty extreme measures that we're having to take to keep the system afloat.
How would you describe having to get the army to drive ambulances?
Look, we're going to have to do a lot of these things. There's a lot of things that there's no one thing that's going to fix this. There's going to be a lot of different systems that are going to have to be put into play. So it's quite an extreme measure to get to this point. It puts a lot of pressure on the paramedics themselves. But the bigger question is, should we need to be at this stage? Like, if we had started pre-COVID with a health system that wasn't stretched as far as it is, it wasn't broken, then would we needed to have enacted this at this stage? That's the problem, and that's the why we've had to take such extreme measures, is because we entered into the COVID pandemic with a system that was already under significant pressure and strain.
Why? Why do governments successively underfund health systems? And then when there's a pandemic, go, oh, we could never have predicted this. The system was working on the smell of an oily rag before the pandemic arrived, and now we've got ambulances being driven by the army. We've got regional ambos who are going to be swept up into the demand in Melbourne, and we've got regional hospitals who are designated COVID hospitals, therefore, again, sidelining regional patients from the care that they would otherwise have had.
Yeah, that's right. So the question's got to be asked, why did we get to this point? And it comes back to the funding that was available to ambulance in the health sector before we got to COVID. There were some warning signs out there that the system was under significant pressure if we ever need to ramp up at any stage, and thunderstorm asthma was a good indicator of that back in 2016. But we haven't set up the sector so that if there is a crisis of some degree, that we could flex up, we could scale up, and we could have the systems in place to make sure that it didn't impact the community and our healthcare workers like it has. That's the frustrating part, is that the warning signs were there before. We were struggling to reach KPIs, and the fact that we even just aimed for the key KPI for Ambulance Victoria is 85% of cases within 15 minutes. That I see as a failure. We should be aiming for 100%. Unless someone's stuck out in the middle of bush, we shouldn't have people who live around the corner from an ambulance branch and who have to wait more than 15 minutes. But that effectively is what was happening prior to COVID. So we really had no chance of getting through this without extreme measures.
Where will this leave regional Victorians? Regional Victorians who from the get-go have had pretty limited health services made available to them, and now are having what health services they have being redirected to accommodate demand in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, really, and that's a result of the underfunding that went on for years. We pull those, as Mick Stevenson said, that we pull those community offices into Melbourne, but that leaves gaps in rural. So it's not sustainable long term. It puts more pressure on those in rural. There's been a lot of talk today about, and I've heard it said that this was the first time in history that paramedics haven't been working two up on a truck. Well, that's just hogwash, to be honest. Like, that's been going on in rural Victoria for as long as I've known. We do this on a daily basis in rural Victoria, and we know it puts significant pressure on the paramedics, but our major regional centres have been relying on community officers and the like, and sometimes it's just, I've done it, where you're just a single officer. You haven't even got anyone else to work with because they can't fill the shift. So that was going on well before COVID. So there's some pretty significant warning signs there that the system was in strife.
What can you tell me about the people who have died in recent days after their calls went unanswered to 000?
Look, it's a tragedy, Nicole. And it's one that, unfortunately, we're going to hear about again. This won't be, you know, the last cases like this that we hear of. It's, you know, particularly in rural where you do have some significant distances, it can take quite a while to get to jobs. But, you know, that's, you know, we allow that, as I said, that 85%. And that allows room for all this error, basically. And we're not achieving, we're not aiming for 100. If we aim for a system that was hitting 100% of cases within 15 minutes, when we had a crisis like this, we'd probably come back to 80%. Instead, what we've done is gone from nearly 85 down to about 65%. Well, that's not good enough. So there's going to be more people whose potentially their lives are lost. I would expect that there will be lives lost as a result of this.
That's a pretty confronting factoid that to leave us with, Brett.
Yeah, well, it is very confronting. And what frustrates me the most is the people that oversaw this system and allowed this to happen are the ones who are out there now crying the loudest in regards to COVID and that COVID is the cause of this. But they allowed us to go into COVID with a broken system and now they're using COVID as a deflection for their failures.
Who are they?
Well... You've spoken to some on your program before, all the people who are responsible for the decision-making on the resources. Within Ambulance Victoria, it's the people who took all the shortcuts, which put more strain on the system, took all the shortcuts to achieve the KPIs. It's the people within the government who didn't really want to hear the full story. We're looking to save a buck wherever they could. Yes, there's been significant investment, but it's nowhere near what we needed and it left us well short when we got into a crisis.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this afternoon.
No worries. Thanks, Nicole.